You know, Obama wrote an important op-ed in the New York Times outlining his opposition to the war. And in it, he said he believed, quote, it was a grave mistake to be distracted from the fight against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban by invading a country that posed no immediate threat and had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks. You know, that's why Obama and McCain as well, to a lesser degree, support sending thousands of U.S. troops to Afghanistan to join the fight against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. You know, it kind of reminds me of John Chrétien's own policy of not joining the invasion of Iraq, but focusing on Afghanistan, you know, avoiding the bad war by fighting the good war instead in the other country. You know, I think this Obama policy, though, of shifting thousands of troops from Iraq to Afghanistan is probably the most worrisome for us in the short term. For all of the positive changes that an Obama presidency could bring, this would be a huge mistake. By simply pumping in thousands of U.S. troops to contribute to the same counterinsurgency strategy in Afghanistan that they've been following all this time, Obama will only make matters worse. And that's not all. He will try to pull other countries down with him in Afghanistan. The U.S. will seek greater allied contributions to the war. Already, I don't know if you saw it on CBC the other night, senior advisor to the Obama campaign told the interviewer that he will be looking for more support from Canada. And remember, we've committed to another 3 years of fighting to December 2011 in Afghanistan. A lot can happen in those 3 years, including a major buildup could happen in that time. If this happens, if Obama comes to us and says we want more, what will our response be? Will Canadians be willing to say no to Obama? You know, in 2006, I co-authored a report that showed for the first time that Canada is already taking a disproportionately high level of casualties in Afghanistan. In fact, Afghanistan was much more dangerous for Canadian troops than Iraq was for American troops. And now we've lost 97 soldiers, 2 aid workers, and a diplomat to the war. All but 8 of these deaths have occurred since 2006, even though we've been there since 2001. That's only 30 months ago. 97 dead, all but 8 within the last few years alone. In fact, 30 months. Now, if you look ahead to what the conservatives and the liberals agreed to, which is a mission all the way to the end of December 2011. Okay? So if you take the beginning of our time in Kandahar from 2006 all the way to 2011, we're not even halfway through. We have 40 months ahead of us, and we've only been in Kandahar for 30 months, and we've already suffered 97 dead soldiers. So you can imagine what the toll will be by the end of December 2011. The truth is, the war there is not going well. And it's not because there aren't enough U.S. troops in Afghanistan. That's not why the war has not been going well. One of the main factors is the number of civilian deaths that's been on the rise. A UN report filed this month to the Secretary General said that there were 1,445 conflict-related civilian deaths in the first 8 months alone of this year. That was an increase of 39% from last year. In July, near the village of Kaku in the eastern Nuristan province, you know, a couple was about to be married. The bride and her family, about 50 in all, including children, were traveling to the wedding that day. And as I mentioned earlier today, that's when U.S. warplanes dropped a bomb on their wedding party. 47 people were killed, including 39 women and children. You know, and in fact, the U.S. denied that there had been a bombing, and that was their policy. And this happens over and over again, that civilians are killed from airstrikes. And in fact, about 40% of all of those civilians in the first 8 months were killed from coalition attacks, and two-thirds of that were from airstrikes. These civilian deaths give fuel to the anger felt across the country. For example, Sharafuddin Firozi, a man from a nearby province in Afghanistan, lost 3 children and his wife to an aerial attack in Rajasthan province. He said, this is what he told reporters, "We are poor farmers. We had absolutely no opinion about America 5 years ago. But now we don't think America is here to help us. If the Taliban will bring peace, we will support them." And there you see the crux of the problem, the loss of the more important battle of hearts and minds there, as people turn away toward the Taliban and the insurgency. Other governments are now realizing that the war may be lost. You may have seen this headline in the National Post only a few weeks ago. "We are not going to win this war. According to the commander of British forces, we are losing." This is what's going around capitals in Europe right now. And in fact, I have heard that there are memos being produced inside the Canadian government today that are saying that the war has already been lost. The truth is that there are a lot of people in Afghanistan, for different reasons, do not want foreign troops in that country. And the truth is that, as well, NATO soldiers cannot kill them all. Because that's currently seems to be the plan that they're trying to do. Everything you hear about the war, we need more troops, we need more equipment, we need more U.S. troops, we need more helicopters, all of this, we need more Afghan soldiers trained. All of this is based on continuing to fight the war. What we need to do is shift focus on ending the war, and then you'll be getting a whole different set of policies from that. The same British commander who said the war was lost also said the time had come for peace talks with insurgents. We at the Rideau Institute believe that this war will not end in a military victory. In fact, it was back in 2006 that we did our first press conference calling for a negotiated end to the war. And you can watch some of these press conferences on our YouTube site and watch our videos.